session number 11042, Rule 7.
Mr. Eric Potten, Rule 7. We're just looking at a variety of things that happened to you in the last three or four months of the war, when you don't really remember things in order. I wondered if you heard anything about West, who was the VC in the battalion. He commanded the battalion late August into September.
Yes.
Did you hear anything about him?
Well, it seems that a counterattack had been made by the Germans, and it looked as if the British line might fold up a bit. Colonel West jumped on his horse and rode up and down in front of them, exhorting them to hold on.
In front of the infantry?
In front of the infantry, and he was killed.
What did you think of that? Do you think that was the role of a tank colonel?
We wondered why the colonel of a tank corps should be up in front of the infantry. But that was just, he was on horseback, had been belonging to a horse regiment, and I suppose he thought it was the thing to do. Very brave action, but
I'm just wondering whether he wouldn't have been better off organising the tanks.
Well, perhaps he hadn't time. You see, you weren't living in a day of wireless, as we know it. There's hardly any wireless at all. Tanks were not wired up to wireless. Most likely one leading an attack, if it was a big attack.
So you mean in the confusion?
Yeah.
He probably the only thing he could think to do.
They wouldn't know behind what was happening, you see.
What kind of a man was he? He wasn't your commander for very long. What did you think of him?
Well, we didn't see much of him, naturally. He wasn't there long enough.
He didn't
wasn't
make
there.
An impression.
He wasn't there a long time, was he? Yeah. So.
Did you have any leave from the Western Front? I think you mentioned earlier that you had one in June 18, or round about June 18.
I had two leaves when I was there. Well, one leave, I think, was it? One from Bovington and one from... I may have had a second leave. I had one from Germany.
Well, we're coming from the one from France, that
yeah.
was about June, you told me that.
Yes, that's
what,
right.
What do you remember about that leave?
Well, question of getting back to London and being hauled up by the MPs for passes and things like that, you know. I don't know.
Did people back home, did they understand what it was like for you on the Western Front?
Some did and some didn't, I think. They never actually got down to the nitty-gritty, most of them, unless there's somebody wounded had come back, you see. They wouldn't know.
You wouldn't tell your family and friends then what it was like?
Well, they'd make the best of it, naturally.
Was there any secrecy about what you were doing? I mean, you were fairly new armed, the tanks. Were you allowed to talk about what happened to you in the tanks?
You weren't allowed to say anything like that from England when you first went out.
No, I mean when
you
were on leave.
Well, it was after the tanks had come out, you see, when I got to leave, another 13 months. So by that time...
So they weren't secret by then at all?
Weren't exactly secret by then, no.
Were people interested in you as a tank? I mean, you were a tank gunner.
Oh, yes, they were interested in a tank man. I suppose they were. I can't remember much.
Fair enough. Now, anything else you remember about your service on the Western Front? Were you aware that the war was coming to an end?
We sort of thought there might be something in it, but we didn't know actually that it was as near the end as we as it was. You see, we were actually going in action. In fact, some of our men were captured on the very day war was declared.
Why? Where were you?
Quivy.
And what exactly happened? Could you tell us on the day?
Well, a few tanks were sent in to clear some place out.
You weren't?
We weren't. No, we were back in the village. And they ran into some lot of trouble. I think there was one was killed and some wounded and some were captured. And they were home by the end of the week because of the armistice, you see. It was on the day of the armistice.
When was your first news of the armistice?
Be on the 11th, I suppose.
What did you feel?
Well, there's a lot of rejoicing. We found a lot of very lights, sent those up because we had no fireworks. And they had tank races and things like that to keep the men together, you see. And that night we could not sleep. It was quiet. We couldn't sleep for about 2 or 3 days. You didn't get much sleep. You're so used to this rumble all the while, you see, the guns. And it was so quiet. It was strange.
Was that a lot of... That happened to you?
Yes.
And a lot of the other men said the same?
Oh, yes. Yes, a lot of the same. Well, actually, it seems so terribly quiet, you can almost hear the quietness.
During the war, had things like religion been a help to you, you know?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, we had our faith. You say your prayers at times when you weren't too busy. It was like Nelson. Wasn't it Nelson?
Did you feel that you were going to get through it?
Yes, after these different things. I thought it never sort of struck me that it wouldn't. At all.
Even with all these other people being killed, you...
Yes, no, yeah. I don't know. Yes, it was hard lines, you see.
So after this first couple of nights when you couldn't sleep, what happened then?
Well, we were brought back to... I think they brought the battalion up and got a camp up there at Quivy for a bit.
So all the 6th Battalion gathered there?
I think they did, as far as I know. Well, the company did anyhow.
And what were you hoping? Were you hoping for demobilisation or what?
Well, we were hoping, but of course I knew we had to do 3 years. And that was not till November. Anyhow, I was sent to the tank stores. A number of our people were up in Germany.
Did the whole battalion go to Germany? Or just...
No. No, a lot were demobbed, of course.
So what was this tank stores in Germany? What was the unit?
It was the tank stores for the tanks of the Army of the Rhine.
Oh, so the whole lot?
Yes.
Did it have a name?
Just the tank store.
And where was it based?
Now I know that ever so well. It was Roetgen, Roetgen.
And what was the tank stores exactly? What would you describe the outfit?
We had all the stores for a tank, engines, in cases.
Whole engines?
Yes, whole engines and gears and all that. All in cases, you see, all cased up. We had everything that was wanted. And any tank they came and put in, they drew for different things, come and draw things.
And what exactly was your job there?
There was me, there was an officer, and myself, and another chap, and we were doing all the invoicing for them.
Now, had they picked you for that because of your office experience?
I suppose so. I was made a Lance Corporal.
That's your first promotion, wasn't it?
That was the only promotion. Yeah.
And how did the invoicing, if you can still remember, how did the invoicing system work?
They'd come in and want a pair of pliers, just for, you're not taking time, are you? Oh, yeah. They'd come in and ask for a certain part. We would make out an invoice and perhaps triplicate or something like that, give them one to go and draw it, and the other one was booked against the detachment that wanted it.
And what would happen to the third part?
Third part would be on the file.
Your file?
Yes. We did quite a lot. The officer in charge was Captain Baldwin. Very nice chap indeed. I've got his photograph upstairs, actually. He gave me one when I left.
And that's all your duties were? Or did you have any other office duties?
Not office duties, but we used to do fire picket and things like that.
What did that involve?
Being on duty all night. A sentry goes there, I think. Fire picket, going round the different billets, you see. See that everything was okay. Because we were billeted in an old hotel with a lot of them. Yes, mostly we were billeted in this hotel. There were very big rooms and beds in them, you see.
So you were comfortable?
Yes.
And how did you get on with the Germans at that time? The civilian population?
We got on very well with them, the ones we got to know. We got to know one family. There was a German and his wife and a daughter. And we used to go there for supper quite a number of times in a week. But we never were allowed to eat any meat because they hadn't got any much, you see. So we used to have potatoes done for nearly every night in a different way. There was potato soup and potato this and potato that. It was really quite nice after the ordinary army food.
And this family, how many were there in the family?
Just the one daughter.
Mother and father?
Mother and father and the daughter.
Had they had any relatives in the war directly?
No, we don't know. We didn't get to talking to them all that much. Certain words in German, of course, naturally. We got to know that, but we didn't know all that much about it.
But they were just friendly.
They were very friendly, yes.
You were allowed to fraternise then, obviously.
Oh, well, nothing was said about it at all. I don't know how the others went on outside. We didn't go out.
You didn't go out much?
Boozing and that sort of thing, you see, a lot.
Were the rest of the population generally friendly, or was this family an exception?
As far as I know, they were friendly enough. It was only really a small village, you see.
And what else did you do for entertainment besides visit this German family?
There wasn't much to do. We used to go out into the woods. There was some very, very nice walks about, you know. And on my 21st birthday, we went out to an estaminet about five or 6 kilometres into the woods and had a venison dinner. There were, what was it, four of us, four corporals.
You didn't drink still, did you? Or did you drink a little?
Oh, only a little. Only at a dinner, you see, like that. Oh, yes. Mm. But I don't drink at all. I tasted beer once since I came home, beer itself, and I didn't like it.
So you just drink with your meal as an accompaniment to the meal?
Yes, that's right.
What about army organised entertainment? Were there canteens or a cinema? Or
well, there didn't seem to be much there. I don't remember anything about anything like that. There may have been for the absolute people, but there wouldn't be such a terrific lot there, you see, to start with.
No concert party then?
Oh, no, nothing there then.
Did you enjoy your time in Germany? You know, office work?
Oh, yes, quite all right. We only worked about 3 hours in the morning, about 9 till 12 or something like that, and we had the afternoon off.
Now, how long were you there?
I was there. No.
When did you go?
Now you're asking me.
Were you there at Christmas, 1918?
No.
So you spent Christmas.
1918? No.
So you were at Queevy at Christmas?
I think we were. Or else we'd move back to somewhere at Christmas. I don't know.
So you went there. Whenabouts in the new year, 1919, did you go?
I went up.
Go up to Germany.
I think I was there about 6 months. I don't know.
So when did you leave?
Left there November.
So you went there in about April?
Yeah. November. That was when my 3 years was up. I moved down to Cologne.
Were you pleased your 3 years were up?
Oh, yes. We wanted to get out of the army, actually, of course, after that time.
Could you just explain why?
Well, yeah. You got a bit fed up with all the discipline and everything like that, and not being in touch with ordinary people, you see. Naturally, nearly everybody who was in the army wanted to get out at the end.
Was there any agitation, you know, any amongst the troops awaiting the demob? I mean, any trouble while you were there?
Not up in Germany. There was in England.
Did you know about that directly?
I was in it.
Okay, well, we'll come on to that then. So you went to Cologne.
Yeah.
And from Cologne?
Well, Cologne, of course, we went down the Rhine to Rotterdam. We came across from Rotterdam to Harwich in a cattle boat.
And this is still November?
Yeah, and the waves starting at the top of the ship and coming down like that. We wondered whether we were going to get it or not, whether we should get home. Terribly rough it was. And when we got home, there was a railway strike. And we were in camp.
Where was the camp? At Harwich?
That part of Harwich. What was it? What's the name of it, I wonder? Well, it wasn't Harwich, actually. It was Harwich. And we had to do guards and things like that for nearly a week, I think, before they could shift us because of the rail strike, you see. And there's a lot of dissatisfaction there.
How did the dissatisfaction show itself?
Well, they wouldn't obey orders. A lot of them wouldn't obey orders at all. They went out of camp. They were supposed to stop in camp. They wouldn't stop in camp. They went out of camp.
What did you obey orders?
Well, we did up to a point. We didn't do anything more than others, I suppose. We used to have to do guard duties.
And you'd do them?
Yes, in a way.
Could you just explain a bit more?
Well, I don't know whether I should.
That's all right.
they'd go on duty, and they'd stand anyhow with their rifles, and they'd give a right turn, they'd slovenly go round, and then quick march, and they'd just drop off anyhow, you see. They'd do things like that. They just wouldn't obey anything, really, except go to bed at night. Everybody was so fed up with getting so far and then so near and so far.
And what did the officers and NCOs do about this sort of...
They didn't much. They didn't do much, I don't think. As far as I know, they didn't do anything.
So people would obey orders, but in a sort of unwilling and...
Very unwilling way, yes.
Dumb insolence, it sounds a bit like.
It was more or less, yes. That's right. And then we got moved to the Crystal Palace.
So nobody did anything about it, though? No officers came?
No, nothing. Yeah.
So they was a blind eye being turned to it, it sounds?
Yes, it wasn't bad. They weren't causing any trouble, I suppose. That's what it was.
So were there any meetings? Or?
No.
It was just individuals?
Well, they all got together to tell the thing.
When would you get together to...
Oh, I don't know what they might do. In a hut or something like that, you see.
Were you at such a meeting?
I never went to any of those meetings, as far as I can remember at all. Don't remember much of it at all, really. It was only that guard duty that I did. Well, yeah, that's the only thing that I remember.
And you all just did it very slovenly?
Yes, just slovenly and just... nobody took much heed.
So you were all fed up?
We were, absolutely. Yes.
What did you want them to do? Because if there was a rail strike, what could they do? I mean, you see what I mean?
That's it. I don't know. What do you do when you get to a lot of troops like that? You couldn't move all that lot up to Crystal Palace once, could you?
How many were there in the camp?
I have no idea. A lot. I don't know how many. They may not have been all our people, as far as that goes.
How long were you there?
I should think 3 or 4 days, or a week, perhaps a week.
So still November, probably?
Yes.
And then what happened? You went up to Crystal Palace?
We went to Crystal Palace and got demobbed, and got a demobbed suit.
What was the suit like?
Well, it covered you.
Did you ever use it later?
I may have done. I can't remember what I did with it. I don't think I used it much, really.
Did you get any payment? You know, any bonus or payment?
I suppose we did, yes, yeah, some kind of payment. You got a book with so much to a week for so long, you know. That's all, really.
So what did you do then?
We just came home to Chesterfield.
Were your parents pleased to see you?
Yes, actually.
Did you have a sort of celebration or party when you got back, or how did you feel?
Oh, I don't remember whether I did or not. I don't think we did.
Was your job held open for you?
Yes.
So you went straight back to work?
Yes, after a holiday. After a bit of holiday.
And you were in the same job in the clerical side?
On the clerical side, yeah. Went all over the place then, different places. Went up to London for the to Seymour Street next to Euston, and I was up there for 6 months.
But you stayed with the railway?
Oh, yes. That one in London was with the railway clearing house, because all the railways were separate in those days. And if a train went from here to Southampton, it might go over 3 or 4 different rails. Well, each line wanted its half of the... It's part of the money paid, you see, it's fair. Because that was all done to the railway clearinghouse. And there were hundreds of us up there starting it up again because it had lapsed during the war, of course.
Now, how had the war affected you as a person, do you think, mentally and physically? Did it make any difference to you as a person?
I don't think so. But I know.
Did you think it had been worthwhile?
Oh, we thought so. We thought we'd done something. That makes you wonder sometimes now.
Were you involved in the Second World War at all, in the Home Guard? Or
I was in the Home Guard right from the start. I was a sergeant in charge of a platoon down at the railway.
Which platoon was that?
Chesterfield platoon of the Midland Railway.
And what sort of activities were you doing with them, just briefly?
I used to go down 3 or 4 times a week. And we used to patrol the railway right the way down to Hornsbridge in the dark. All loaded rifles as well.
You were organised by the railway, were you?
No. No, no, no.
You
not
said it was a Chesterfield railway. Branch of the Midland Railway. Sorry.
Oh, that was the Chesterfield, the railway, Home Guard, but it wasn't anything to do with the railway. It was done by Chesterfield, the Chesterfield battalion. We were just one of the
platoons.
Platoons, that's right. We were one of the platoons.
So you had this patrolling to do. What other jobs did the Home Guard do?
Well, it was that, being on guard on the station and that sort of thing, and in the goods yard occasionally, and that sort of thing. It was, I suppose, ready for anything, style of thing.
Were you well trained?
Oh, we were pretty well trained, because we were nearly all old soldiers to start with.
Most
didn't
of them were old
didn't,
men.
Didn't need any. There were some from the Boer War. One or two were from the Boer War. And, oh, yes, we used to do a lot of training in the week at this time. We used to shooting, that sort of thing. When we got to .22 rifles, did a lot of shooting to the back of Markham's there. Didn't do much drilling. They did do a bit of drilling when they used to do it in the goods shed underneath. There was a big place downstairs, down below the goods shed. We used to go down there for different things. They used to do map reading and different things like that.
How efficient do you think you were as a unit?
I think we were very efficient ourselves. Nothing like you get it on the television. You've seen it, haven't you?
You mean the Dad's Army
program? Yeah, they really go over the top there, don't they?
So it was quite a serious military unit as far as...
Oh, it was. Yes, as far as we were concerned, very serious. Yes.
What was the spirit like amongst the men? You were all older men, or mostly older men.
Oh, very good. Very good, yes. Yes, we used to have some fun with some of the town officers, because they didn't know what we had to go through going up the side of the main line, having to hang on while trains whizzed past you and all that sort of thing. And so we used to go up with loaded rifles, you see. And more than once, the chap's been up at Hornsbridge, standing in the shadows. One of these officers come floundering about, and he'd immediately, "Who's there?" And they were frightened to life because they knew that they'd got loaded rifles, and they didn't know whether they'd shoot first and ask afterwards. They didn't come down lately. After that, they didn't come down much. So the ordinary officer used to come down to the station, but he never used to go down Horns Bridge.
Were the officers any good?
Oh, all right.
Were they all First World War officers?
No, not all of them. Some were, yes. Quite a number were, of course.
Had they all had military experience?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know about the town.
But I mean in your unit?
We had some young men who were not allowed to join up, you see. I mean firemen and drivers on the railway. But they weren't. They couldn't come very often. They never knew when they were coming, you see. But the others came very well. We had a very good. We had quite a long time, a nice time. And we went. They had different parades, you know, to the parish church and that sort of thing. And we were getting together in one of the yards somewhere near Saltergate. And a lot of people were watching us, of course, you know, and we're drilling them to say, and one of them says, "My word, they're all sweats, aren't they?" We didn't think much of being all sweats, but
thank you very much.